message that I'm going to bring to you today that I believe will be of great comfort to many of you, great comfort and much help. Now, I do hope that you'll be led to listen. Listen. We're not going to learn anything unless we listen, unless we hear. He that hath ears to hear, our Lord said, let him hear. And if you'll be led to listen prayerfully and carefully, I believe from this message you'll gain much assurance and much comfort in the mercy of our God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you'd like to follow in the Scriptures, and I really hope you will, it's so important that you see what I'm preaching right there in God's Word. That's so important. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God and in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where faith, how faith comes to us, is by the Word of God. Now, here's the Scripture, Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. This is one of my favorite, as my grandson says sometimes, my most favorite of all the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 43. Here's the title of the message too. Subject and title. Fear not. Fear not. Now, in other words, don't be afraid. If what the Lord says in this text, if what He says is true of me and you, if it's true, all right, but if it's true of you and me, then we have nothing to fear. Now, it's true, but is it true of you and is it true of me? That's the question. You see, fear is an emotion that we all feel at times. It's an emotion some people feel all the time, but most all of us feel the emotion of fear sometimes, especially in regard to eternal matters. Especially in regard to eternal matters. Actually, a person who does not have some fear and some concern regarding death, you fear death? Judgment, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. And eternity. A person that does not have some concern or fear regarding those three things, sin, death, judgment, and eternity. Well, if he doesn't have any concern or fear of that, he's either a fool or perhaps he's ignorant of these matters. Or perhaps, and I hope this can be said of us when I finish this message, he has a hope, a good hope, of being delivered from those four things. Sin, death, judgment, and a separation from God eternally. Do you have such a hope? You say, well, I'm not a fool, preacher, and I'm certainly not ignorant of those things. Then do you have a hope? Well, we do. We have a good hope if these words are true of us. Now, will you listen to Isaiah 43? Look at it. Listen to it. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, O Jacob. He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. In verse 5, he says it again. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Now, the first thing we've got to establish is, to whom is the Lord speaking? I know who's speaking here. It's, thus saith the Lord. That's what it says. Now, thus saith the Lord. And he's speaking to someone. And here, that someone is called Jacob. He is speaking to Jacob and to Israel. Now, he's not speaking to that fellow Jacob, necessarily, that was back yonder, that lived, and whom God redeemed. This is not written just to Jacob. And he's not speaking to national Israel. A lot of people get that confused. The nation of Israel and the person called Jacob is not the one he's speaking to here. He's speaking to sons of Jacob, and he's speaking to spiritual Israel. Sons of Jacob represented by Jacob, and spiritual Israel represented by national Israel. That's right. He's speaking to his people. He's speaking to his people called sons of Jacob. He calls them sons of Jacob frequently in the Scripture. I'll tell you why in a moment. He's speaking to true Israel in these verses, telling us not to be afraid. Now, I want you to notice several verses. Romans 2:28 says, he's not a Jew who is one outwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. Romans 9:6-7 says, they're not all Israel which are of Israel, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That nation Israel back then in the Old Testament was simply a representative of the church, of the Zion, of the people of God, of the New Jerusalem. Galatians 3:7 says this, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, these are the children of Abraham. Who are the children of Abraham? Those who believe on Christ. And those who believe not on Christ, it doesn't matter what nationality they are, they're not children of Abraham. They're not even the seed of Abraham. Because Galatians 3 clearly says that that seed is Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you sons of Abraham. If you belong to Christ. Listen to Galatians 3:26. You're the children of God by faith in Christ. Listen to Philippians 3:3. We're true Israel who worship God in spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence in the flesh. So here in Isaiah 43, when the Lord says, fear not, don't be afraid, O Jacob. Fear not, don't be afraid, O Israel. I'm with thee. Well, he's not talking just to people who live in the Orient or the Far East or the Near East or people in a little nation. He's speaking to sons of Jacob. He's speaking to true Israel. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's not Israel which is one outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is not in the flesh, it's in the heart. And you're looking at a full-fledged Israelite right here. And every one of you out there, it doesn't matter whether you came from China or Scotland or Africa or France or Spain or what your background or heritage is, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're son of Abraham. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. And if you're a saved person who knows the grace of God in Christ Jesus, you are Israel. You are a son of Jacob. And if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not redeemed by His grace, and you're not Christ's seed, then it doesn't matter. You may be a Hebrew of Hebrews, but you're not an Israelite. You're not a child of Abraham. You're not a son of God. Now that's so clear. It says so plainly, they're not all Israel which are of Israel, but in Isaac, in the chosen seed, shall thy seed be called. We're sons of God by faith in Christ. You're the children of God by faith in Christ. Know ye therefore, they which are of faith, these are the children of Abraham. Why are we called sons of Jacob? He says, fear not, don't be afraid, O Jacob, sons of Jacob. He says that so often. He calls us sons of Jacob in Malachi 3. He calls us sons of Jacob in Isaiah 44. He says, the Lord hath redeemed thee, O sons of Jacob. The Lord hath glorified himself in Israel. Well, I'll give you several reasons why we call sons of Jacob. I'm a son of Jacob. You are a son of Jacob if you're a believer. We're called sons of Jacob because the Lord loved him and loved us. He loved Jacob. He said that. He said that twice. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Isn't that what Scripture said? Jacob have I loved. He said, I have drawn thee, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We're sons of Jacob because God loved us. Secondly, we're sons of Jacob because God chose us. Like Jacob, it says the Lord had chosen Jacob for himself. And we're sons of Jacob. The Lord loved us. The Lord chose us. We're called sons of Jacob because, like Jacob, the Lord called us to faith. He crossed our path. He met us at Bethel, house of God. That's what Bethel means, house of God. And one night, Jacob, he'd stolen his brother's birthright. He was running from his brother Esau, and he was fleeing from home. Everybody was down on him, and he was running through the night, and he lay down to sleep. And God met him. And the Lord said, Jacob, I've loved you, I've chosen you, I've called you, and I'll be with you. And God made him. And Jacob called the name of that place Bethel, house of God. I met the Lord face to face. We're sons of Jacob. Has he crossed your path? All right. In the next place, we're called the sons of Jacob because, like Jacob, the Lord has blessed us and given us a new name. He said, what's your name? Old Jacob said, Jacob. You know what Jacob means? Supplanter, cheat. And the Lord said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. What is Israel? A prince. A prince, a son of God. God changed his name. And I'll tell you this, God's given us a new name. And that name is Prince, Son of God. Christian, child of God. That's right. And then, not only a new name, we're called the sons of Jacob because, like Jacob, the Lord's kept us all the days of our lives, even in our wanderings. Oh, how that man wandered. And how that man up and down, but finally, God brought him home. And God will bring you home, too, if you're one of his sons. Sons of Jacob. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's right. Well, let's look at our text again. Fear not. Don't be afraid. The Lord says, fear not. Over and over again. He says, fear thou not. I'm with thee. I'm thy God. He said in Isaiah 41:13, fear not. I'll help thee, O sons of Jacob. In Isaiah 41:14, fear not thy worm, Jacob. I'm thy redeemer. And in our text, he says, fear not, O Jacob. Fear not, O Israel. And here he gives us several reasons why we have no cause to be afraid. No cause to be afraid. I want to give them to you for your confidence and for your comfort and for your assurance. Would you listen to them? Why don't you look at the scripture then and follow me? First of all, in verse 1, he says, Jacob, sons of Jacob, Israel, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. Our missionary to Mexico, Brother Groover, told me an interesting story. I visit down there every year and preach in some of these pueblos in the Yucatan. It's a very poor, poor, poor country. And people don't have very much. But one little boy, with the help of his father, had made a very beautiful and elaborate kite. And wind came up strong one day, and so he got his string, big ball of string, and took that beautiful kite out and put it up in the air. And just kept letting the string out, letting the string out, letting the string out, kept on getting higher and higher and farther away. And after a while, the string broke. And the wind just took his kite away. And several days passed, and he and his father were in another pueblo, in another village. And they saw this sort of a garage sale of people selling things in this little, these little booths and all. And this little boy saw that beautiful kite. And he said to his father, that's my kite. Somebody's found my kite. And it's for sale. And he went to the person there that owned the little booth or whatever it was where they were selling these things. He said, that's my kite. The man said, no, that's my kite. It was lost, but I found it. And if you want it, you'll have to buy it. So the little boy looked up at his father, and his father reached in his pocket and got out two or three pesos and gave it to the man. And the little boy got the kite and clutched it in his arms. And as he walked away, he looked down at the kite and he said, "You're mine. You're mine twice. I made you and I bought you." And that's what the Lord's saying here to you and to me. I made you and I bought you. Our Lord made us and He redeemed us with His own blood. We're doubly His. We're doubly His. For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. God says, "I've redeemed you." That little boy won't let that kite get away again. And I'll tell you this. He said, "I'm not going to forsake them and they're not going to leave me. I redeemed them." And then in verse 1, he says, "Fear not, I've called you by name." I've called you by name. Our Lord not only redeemed us, but He called us. He called us. He called us by His gospel. Paul, talking about the elect of God in 1 Thessalonians 4, said, "Brethren, I know you're God's elect, because our gospel came not to you in word only. It came to you in power, in convicting, converting, life-changing power." God called us by His gospel. Ephesians 1:13 says this, "In whom you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Romans 1:16 says the gospel is a power of God to salvation. He called us, sent His gospel, and called us. And then He called us by Spirit. "For eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things God's prepared for them that love Him. But He has revealed them to us by His Spirit." And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true and that we're in Him that is true. And this is the true God and this is eternal life. He called us by name, not only by His gospel, not only by His Spirit, by His Word, but by name. He said, "I know my sheep. I know my sheep and they know me. And I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me." And that brings me to the next point. Verse 1, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you. And look at these three words. You're mine. You are mine. Oh, I tell you, our Lord prayed in John 17 for His people. You read that prayer? John 17, the prayer of the great high priest for His church. 6 times in that one prayer He uses this phrase, "those whom Thou hast given me." You check it out. John 17, the Lord Jesus is praying, lifted His eyes and said these words to the Father. 6 times He says, "those whom Thou hast given me." Now look at verse 9. Listen, He prayed. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine. I don't fear because I'm His. That's what He says. Fear not. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. All Thine are mine, He said. My sheep. My church, I'll build my church, my body, my people, my brethren. Oh, if you could just read that 10th chapter of John and hear him talking about those sheep. Talking about those sheep. They're His. "Other sheep I have," He said, "which are not of this fold, them I must bring. They'll hear my voice. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. They're mine. All that my Father giveth me will come to me. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. This is the will of Him that has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, they're mine. I'll lose nothing. Can you imagine one of his sheep perishing? One of his sheep for whom he agreed to be the surety? Can you imagine one of his children? Can you imagine a child of God perishing? I wouldn't let one of mine get away from my care if I could prevent it. And God, infinitely, eternally, more powerful, loving, gracious than I, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father give good things to them that ask Him? His children? Can you imagine one of His children perishing? One of His sheep? Part of His body? Don't be afraid. You're mine. All right. Look at verse 2. Don't be afraid, he said, fear not. When you pass through the water, I'll be with you. When you go through the waters of trouble, and you will. When you go through the waters of sorrow, I'll be with you. Don't let these television con artists and hucksters and merchandisers of men, money-grubbing preachers, mislead you into thinking because you're sick you don't believe, because you got troubles you don't have faith, and because you have sorrow in your life that you're not living a victorious life and don't believe in Christ. Let me tell you something. Some of God's choicest people have gone through the most suffering. John Bunyan spent 12 years in prison because he refused to preach what men told him to preach. He preached the gospel. Charles Spurgeon was a man who preached the gospel 38 years and spent much time in Mentone, France. Awfully sick, awfully sick. Paul talked about his good friend being sick unto death. I tell you, Paul himself had a thorn in the flesh. These preachers talk about if you're not financially wealthy, you're spiritually poor and don't have any faith. That's a lie. I've got so many friends in Mexico and those little churches down there that have dirt floors and sleep in hammocks and sit on boxes and cook on rocks and get up every morning not knowing what they're going to eat, but God provides their little meager portions of corn and beans, and they're poor, so very, very poor, but they're choice servants of God. And I have no sympathy for men who use these things to make merchandise out of men's soul. He said, when you go through the water, I'll be with you. When you come to the river, it won't overflow you. I'll be with you. You'll pass through on dry land. I'll be with you, like Israel of old. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be consumed. It'll not kindle upon you. And you'll walk through the fire. God puts all of His children. Don't be amazed at the fiery trials that come upon you. God sends them for your good. Faith has got to be tried. Untried faith's no faith. He knows the way I take. And after He has tried me with fire, I'll come forth as gold. Isn't that what Job said? Don't be afraid. You're going through the water, but He said, I'll be with you. And you're going to come to the river, but it won't overflow you. And you're going to walk through the fire, but it won't consume you, because I'll be with you. Don't be afraid. And then in verse 3, he said, don't be afraid. I'm the Lord your God. I'm the Holy One of Israel. I'm your Savior. Did you hear what he said? I am the Lord your God, and I'm your Savior. In other words, do you know that the eternal God of heaven and earth is my Savior? The living God with whom we have to do at the judgment is my Savior. That's what Mary said. My soul rejoices in God, my Savior. Why should I fear judgment? The one before whom I'll stand is my Savior. The one before whom I'll stand is the one who stood for me before the judgment and death. I don't have to be afraid. My advocate, my mediator is my God. The judge is my Father. And the advocate is His Son. That trial's over. Call his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. You'll save his people from their sins. I've got to hurry. Listen, verse 4, don't be afraid. You're precious in my sight. You're precious. Have you ever considered the things that are called precious in God's Word? Have you ever thought about that? Valuable, highly valuable, precious. Well, he is precious. He's called precious. His Word is called precious, his promises. The death of his saints is called precious. Faith is called precious. And here you are, right smack in the middle of it. You're precious. Isn't that something? Don't be afraid. You're precious in my sight, he said. Not in yours. Maybe not in anybody else's. But he said, in my sight, you're precious, because he paid a tremendous price for you. You're bought with a price. And then in verse 4, he said, don't be afraid. I've loved you. The believer doesn't like to talk about his love for Christ because he knows it's so small. But he likes to talk about Christ's love for him. And then he says in closing, verse 5, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. Let me show you something. Isaiah said he was numbered with the transgressors. He was with us, identified with us. Secondly, he said, I'm with you even to the end of the earth, every step of the way. And then he prayed, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. All right? Fear not. I want you to get that tape. Fear not. Send $2. That'll cover the cost. Here's the address. And there'll be another sermon on the other side. That's justification by faith and fear not. Till next week, God bless you, everyone.